2017 marked one of the Wisconsin's worst years for Lyme disease, and it comes as the state has seen a big spike in cases of the disease over the last decade. As researchers gear up for this year's tick season, we're going to take a closer look at what goes into tick population estimates, as well as what might be behind the state's trends. Scott Gordon is the associate editor of wiscontext.org. His recent piece for the site is titled, Wisconsin's Annual Lyme Disease Forecast is Not a Simple Matter. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
We just said that last year was one of the worst years for Lyme disease in Wisconsin. How bad was it?
Well, according to the State Department of Health Services, there was a 22% jump in cases, confirmed cases, between 2016 and 2017. Of course, that's from one year to the next. And when you're looking at a trend in public health, you want to try to keep it in a more long-term picture. But it's still, you know, in line with the increase that the state has been seeing over the years.
So you said that researchers do tend to look at trends over multiple years instead of one single year. Why is that? Is it just that one year can be an outlier?
Sure, yeah. I mean, there's always the danger there of making too much of a short-term variation versus kind of looking at where things are going in the long run.
But we have seen a pretty dramatic increase in the last decade and overall trend since the 1990s of rising cases.
That's correct.
And I want to go back to something you said, because you said confirmed cases. And so what's the difference between confirmed and probable cases of Lyme disease, and why is that important to know?
Okay, so in the parlance of public health, when you know, government officials and healthcare providers and so forth are working together to track a given disease. You know, there's a few different kind of categories they put cases into. You know, a confirmed case of Lyme disease is, you know, where someone has taken a blood sample and actually, you know, tested it for the presence of the bacteria that cause Lyme disease. So it's like a lab confirmed sample. You know, and there's a lot of cases reported that are more just kind of diagnosed as people, you know, come in and their doctor sees that they have, you know, telltale symptoms like the rash that a lot of people with Lyme disease get. And the doctor, you know, reasonably so kind of says, okay, well, let's just get you on treatment. We know what this is. We don't necessarily need to take the time to do a blood test and so forth. And, you know, public health officials around the state understand that. And, of course, there's also, you know, statistical methods that are used to kind of project what the overall picture was from what they do know.
It seems like an important point to make that while they can certainly be closely connected, a big year for ticks may not necessarily be a big year for Lyme disease. You talk in your article about some human factors that can affect that. There might be a lot of ticks, but people are not getting infected as often.
Right. And of course, you know, getting a tick on you that will pass on Lyme disease that it's picked up from something else that's fed on previously. You know, the deer tick, also known as black-legged tick. That's how most people are getting Lyme disease. But there's so many factors that influence Lyme disease. Obviously, there have to be ticks out and about and getting onto people for there to be cases of Lyme disease. But it can also be affected by just, you know, how much time people are spending out in kind of, you know, woody type areas that are likely to be good tick habitat. You know, so even if there is not an explosion in the population of ticks from one year to the next, if more people are coming to where the ticks are at, that can certainly drive it up.
Or aren't. You talked about, you know, if it's a particularly rainy summer and people aren't out hiking or aren't spending as much time in their gardens, the ticks might be out there, but the people aren't there.
Right. And, you know, people get exposed when they're hiking. They can get exposed if they have, you know, some woods on their property. You know, a lot of people are exposed to Lyme disease fairly close to home.
One of the trends about Lyme disease in Wisconsin is the geographic location of cases that are being reported, and you report that it does seem to be moving. What directions are we seeing that?
Well, northern and western Wisconsin have generally gotten the brunt of it, and that's still the case, but ticks are generally understood, the deer ticks are generally understood to be spreading, you know, south and east across the state, you know, to the point where you basically see the ticks and the disease in every county. So, you know, perhaps it's reaching more of a saturation point where in Michigan, for instance, the spreading is still kind of happening. Mm.
It also makes you wonder, because of what you were talking about confirmed cases versus probable cases, you know, I wonder if partly there's more awareness of Lyme disease. And so maybe people are tuning in more and saying, oh, wait, you know, maybe this is Lyme disease, as opposed to, oh, I just feel really kind of horrible and, you know, achy and stuff like that. So could it possibly be one of those factors that we're seeing more cases, is there's more awareness?
Yeah, that's absolutely a factor to it.
We're talking with Scott Gordon right now. He's associate editor for WiskContext.org, and he's with us talking about recent reporting that they did on Lyme disease research here in Wisconsin. And Scott, you talked to a few people about why there would be such a spike in Lyme disease, and none of them really had a clear, simple answer for you. What's your sense after talking to so many people about why the explanation might be so hard to pin down?
Well, it's so hard to pin down because there are so many things that go into the spread of the disease and people getting impacted by the disease. You know, of course, we mentioned the general health of the tick population and how well they're doing and where they emerge and sort of how the timing of their life cycles plays out. That can be a big factor. You know, also the health of other animals that the ticks feed on is a big one. You know, as the name deer ticks implies, they feed on deer a lot. They don't necessarily pick up Lyme disease from deer, but there are rodents that they feed on, especially in the northern United States, that tend to be what's known as good reservoirs for Lyme disease. And so the health, for example, of the population of white-footed mice is a really big one. And again, you know, human behavior and you know, how different strains of the disease might be behaving, because there's more than one species of bacteria that cause Lyme disease, for instance. You know, that's all a factor. You know, so if we had a year where ticks emerged late, that would be a factor, and so forth.
And you mentioned like the host animals, so it feels like this is a tremendously complicated web of players and factors. It almost seems like it would be hard for all the factors to come together in the right way for there to be this big increase. And yet we are seeing a significant increase, aren't we?
Yeah. And I mean, there's a lot of evidence that climate change is sort of helping tick populations spread out around North America, for example. You know, of course, they need, you know, fairly warm habitat for their life cycle to play out. So that's definitely a factor.
So needing a warm environment would seem to indicate that Wisconsin shouldn't be the tick and Lyme disease hotspot that it really is. What is it about Wisconsin that has been a really good habitat for these ticks and for this disease?
Yeah, I mean the ticks do, you know, hide out and survive during the winter, during part of their life cycle. They have a, you know, a 2-year kind of 3-stage life cycle and feed throughout that at each different stage. So, you know, usually either the larvae or the nymph stage tick will feed on something that is carrying Lyme disease and then pass it on to the next animal or person that it feeds on. You know, it's hot, it's humid. There's lots of densely wooded and brushy areas, lots of rodents and deer and other mammals to feed on. Ticks also feed on, you know, birds and reptiles. Obviously, reptiles are a bigger food source for them in the southern United States, but they're still part of the picture up here. So, as our climate gets warmer, even warmer and wetter here, you know, they'll likely continue to be a big factor.
You say in your article that trying to forecast the population of seasonal ticks can be a, quote, slippery practice. Why is that particularly hard to calculate?
Well, because of all these different factors that we've been discussing and because of, you know, how all those different factors interact. And, I mean, you know, for example, the way that weather plays into all this, if there's, you know, some kind of midsummer drought, that could affect the tick population. You know, they need kind of moisture from the atmosphere to survive. You know, or if just some other unpredictable factor mm-hmm. like that could sort of change the whole trajectory of it.
It sounds like it's in some ways similar to trying to predict agricultural seasons, because there are some things that you can pretty much figure out and count on, and then there are things that just kind of come out of nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, especially the way that weather plays into it.
So that having been said, that it's hard to predict, what did researchers tell you they're thinking this year might bring?
Well, I mean, given the long-term increasing trend of Lyme disease and the fact that it seems to have, you know, kind of spread out across the state, I think they're still concerned that it's going to be a big year for Lyme disease. You know, I haven't yet been able to follow up and find out what they make of the this kind of really hot stretch we've been having and how that might affect the whole picture. You know, of course, there's a little bit of speculation that, well, because we had kind of this wintry weather up through April, would that delay the emergence of the ticks? And yeah, I mean, we still don't know, but we know that it's that it's going to be an ongoing concern.
And Scott, as we wrap up, you know, it's concerning that there is this increase, that it's spreading across the state. The researchers you spoke with, did they offer, you know, kind of best ideas for protecting ourselves from Lyme disease?
Sure. Yeah. And it's the pretty standard stuff that public health folks put out there every year, you know, avoiding tick habitat, checking yourself for ticks after you've been out somewhere where you might encounter them, you know, obviously wearing pants and sleeves that cover your skin when you're out in that kind of habitat. You know, really pushing those basic messages is actually like very important to public health folks, even people who study things on a really specific granular level.
Well, Scott, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much.
That was Scott Gordon, associate editor for WisContext.org. He was with us to talk about Lyme disease research in Wisconsin. You can read more about their work on ticks and tick diseases by visiting WisContext.org/ticks.